And this hour brought to you by Americans for Prosperity. Did you hear Sean Hannity last night? Talking, this is cut five, by the way. More gun violence in blue-run cities. Listen to this.
Five major cities, all run by Democrats, are now on pace to pass last year's high homicide numbers. In D.C., there have been over 90 homicides so far this year. By the way, ask yourself, do you know the names of any of them? Including a teenager who was killed over the weekend at an event called Mochella. But sadly, this senseless violence is now all too common. In New York, one person killed, eight injured in a Harlem shooting on Father's Day weekend. In the city of Chicago, well, they set the record again. 47 shot over this past weekend. That included an 11-year-old girl shot in the leg. And get this, look at your screen. Police are now searching for a suspect after new footage shows the Louisville mayor being sucker punched during an event on Saturday. Where are the big city Democrats who claim to care so much about gun violence? Well, you know, when is Joe Biden going to visit Chicago? Because he paid no attention to it 8 years as vice president. When will he demand accountability in this Democratic-run city, in this deep blue Democratic state? Because this has been going on since he first became vice president. Why is this happening weekend after weekend after weekend? No solutions, no attention. We have scrolled the names of our American treasure lost to the lawlessness in major cities. Why is it Democrats continue to politicize the issue rather than work to fix the problem?
Well, that was insightful from Sean Hannity. And he does this from time to time where he'll scroll the names of victims of gun violence. And it's something you never see. You never see that on CNN. You ever notice that? Unless there is a mass shooting. And then they do that a lot. But they don't do it on a weekly basis in cities like Chicago and Philadelphia and Baltimore and Minneapolis. They just don't do it. Coming up, we're going to talk about something that we take very seriously on this program. It's called our kids. It's called education. It's called educational choice. We'll do that coming up, because guess who's next? Aaron Phillips, president and co-founder of Power to Parent. It's not just a movement. It is a union. Yeah. So stay where you are. More to do as we continue. Aaron Phillips will join us next right here on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Chuck, you've said before that the DLC has processed over 2 million applications. What about the folks who were denied?
Craig, I love this question, and the answer is simple. If you were denied a loan in the past and are still looking for a loan, before you go somewhere else and pay way too much, give us another shot. Everyone's situation changes. You may have a cosigner, a new job, a raise, who knows? But we would sure like the chance to try and help you out.
I'm telling you, it seems like my credit score goes up and down each month.
Another great point. We don't use a traditional credit score at Dollar Loan Center, so if your credit isn't great, we can still help. You don't even need a checking account, and we give you longer to pay back.
That was Chuck, founder of Dollar Loan Center, where you can get up to $5,000 in just minutes. We have over 50 locations, or you can apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com.
Licensed by the Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. To review loan qualifications, visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. The Supreme Court delivered another victory for religious freedom today. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
In a 6-3 vote, the High Court says religious schools cannot be excluded from a Maine program that offers tuition aid for private education. The state pays for youngsters in small towns that have no public school to go to a private one. However, the vouchers could not be used at any religious institutions. Vermont has a similar program.
The ruling is the latest in a line of decisions that have favored religion-based discrimination claims. Texas's top safety official testified at a state Senate hearing about that deadly school shooting in Uvalde, where 19 children and two teachers were killed.
The director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, Colonel Steve McCraw, says there is compelling evidence the law enforcement response
was an abject failure and antithetical to everything we've learned over the last two decades since the Columbine massacre.
McCraw says there were enough officers on the scene to have stopped the gunman 3 minutes after he entered the school. They waited for over an hour.
The only thing stopping a hallway of dedicated officers from entering room 111 and 112 was the on-scene commander, who decided to place the lives of officers before the lives of children.
The on-scene commander was the Uvalde School District Police Chief, Pete Arredondo. McCraw also says the door of the classroom was not locked.
How about trying the door and see if it's unlocked? Okay, that's, you know, what we used to call a clue.
Police were waiting for the key. I'm Ed Donahue.
On Wall Street, the Dow up by 641 points. The NASDAQ rose 270. The S&P 500 advancing 89. Oil up $1.02 to $110.58 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. More on these stories at townhall.com.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor or outdoor, repair or redesign, and we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casale, the Multicare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer Employee Benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employee's dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The Multicare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in United States. Call the Multicare Group today for your no obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The Multicare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casale of the Multicare Group today, 702-396-9449.
It's 204. This is your KMCQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Lake Mead's water level may be dropping at a faster rate than even earlier forecast, but you still need to be careful while boating. Park Service officials say one person drowned over the weekend at the lake when a boat they were in sank in the rough waters caused by high winds. Two others made it to dry land. Beginning tomorrow, the Southern Nevada Health District will start offering Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines to children from 6 months to 4 years of age. The Pfizer vaccine is a three-dose series. As of June 13th, the health district reports more than 13,800 cases of COVID-19 in children under the age of four. Well, a new report is suggesting that ending smoking in casinos will not have a negative impact on revenue. A report from C3 Gaming comes as several states, including New Jersey and Pennsylvania, but not Nevada, are considering banning smoking in casinos. And by the way, today is the first day of summer. That's right. We're going to be up around 100 degrees today, and we're inching closer and closer to normal, up to 106 later in the week.
KCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Quick check of the traffic cams. A little bit of congestion there on the Southern Beltway, 215 eastbound at Green Valley. Do remember the overnight road work. It's on Nellis Boulevard. It's affecting both directions between Tropicana and Craig. Those lane reductions begin nightly at 8 p.m.
Gather round. I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Last week was vitally important to the future of our community, not because it was primary election day, but because last week, Power to Parents and our next guest, Aaron Phillips, the president and co-founder of Power to Parent, had their day in court, the Nevada State Supreme Court, to be exact. Aaron Phillips joins us. And Aaron, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. Always good to have you on. And tell me about that experience of going to the State Supreme Court.
Hey, Kevin. So, yeah, it was actually a pretty unique experience. And, you know, kind of regardless of the outcome, I think that it was a big win for parents in Nevada, because we really were able to make our case in regards to education freedom in front of the highest court in the state. And so I think either way, having our voices heard and being represented that way was is a huge success. So but yeah we have two, you know, cases actually. So we've appealed both district court rulings in both of our initiatives, and this one is the constitutional initiative case.
So explain, give people the backstory. The two initiatives that we're talking about, where folks would actually go to the polls and they would vote on school choice. Can you talk about the backstory of how this came to be and exactly what we're talking about?
Yeah, so we filed two initiatives in January. One is a constitutional initiative that would allow voters to vote on the creation of education freedom accounts that would take 90% of the base per pupil funding in Nevada and allow families to direct that portion of their tax dollars to the education that really fits their child's needs. The statutory initiative does something very similar, but statutory initiative petitions, they take a little bit more time. And so if we get signatures for the constitutional initiative by June 29th, then that would land on the 22 ballot this upcoming election in November. If we were able to obtain the signatures needed on the statutory initiative, that would be by November 23rd. And then that would go to the legislature. And then if they did nothing with that, it would go on to the ballot on the 2024 ballot.
Now, how is this different than what we had in the state, what, 3, 4, 5 years ago, whatever it was, education savings accounts, ESAs, that were found to be constitutional, but the means of financing it was not. Can you talk about what the difference is between what you're doing now and what we had, and what everybody around the country was applauding? Is, oh, this is groundbreaking.
Yeah. No, it was groundbreaking, and it is largely the same. So we've changed just a few small things in regards to eligibility for the program. But other than that, it really just allows the creation of these education freedom accounts that allow families, again, the freedom to direct their child's education. And one of the very minor changes we made was also it takes 90%, not 100% of that base per pupil funding. And then also another eligibility requirement would be one, if we're looking at the statutory petition, one of the eligibility requirements is 1 year enrollment in public school in order to qualify. And so other than that, it's really largely the same. And it was groundbreaking in 2015, as you said. And as we saw, the Democrat Party actually in the state sued and really tried to shut down the ability for parents to access this program. And then when they lost, like you said, on the funding piece, but not on the constitutionality of the program. But then fast forward to 2019, the speaker at the time, Nicole Canizaro, she actually removed that whole entire piece of legislation from the Nevada Revised Statute. So a lot of folks thought that we still had that program and we just needed to be able to fund it. But in fact, in 2019, it was completely removed. So we really had to start from scratch. But that kind of worked in our favor, I think, and as we see the outcome, because we know more about school choice, because of the moment that we're in, we have so much momentum and so many states across the country have enacted school choice programs. And so we have so much data that we can really tailor the program to fit the needs of Nevadans right now.
So tell me what happened at the state Supreme Court. Did you get a chance to testify, or is it just oral arguments? What exactly happened?
So our attorneys were able to give oral arguments in front of the Supreme Court. So our attorney that was representing us in this case is Jason Guanasso. And so Jason was able to present the oral arguments in front of the court.
A lot of times, if it's the state Supreme Court or if it's the U.S. Supreme Court, you can get a sense of what the justices are thinking by the questions they ask of the attorneys. What was your sense of how this thing worked out?
So it's interesting in our case because the judges are actually not ruling on whether or not this program is constitutional. What they're actually supposed to be ruling on is whether or not the description of effect that we wrote, which is a 200-word description of what the potential law would do, whether it's misleading or not. And that was what when Harry Reid's son, Roy Reid, and Beverly Rogers Foundation, when they sued us in district court, that was actually the grounds that they sued us on, was that this was a misleading description of effect. And then the judge in the lower court went a lot further than that. In fact, he went beyond the scope of, I think, what he was required to do, which was he really came into his own sort of opinion on the policy pieces. And that really wasn't his job. Actually, it was not his job, in fact, at all. So what we're looking at here for the Supreme Court and kind of the basis of our appeal is not only is our description of effect limited by 200 words, we can't say everything that could potentially happen, you know, for voters in a 200-word description. But we did actually argue that we put in our description of effect the possible effect on, you know, on the state and the burden on the state that this bill would do. And so those judges are not supposed to actually get into the weeds at all on the policy. If they like the policy, if they think the policy will have a specific outcome, they're only supposed to rule on whether or not our description of effect is in fact correct and will tell the voters what they need to know, give them the correct information if they want to in fact sign our petition and then have that land on the ballot.
What did you think of the questions that the judges asked?
Yeah, so I thought the questions were interesting. We, you know, our side went first, and so right away the judges were, it was a very lively discussion. They jumped right in. They asked a lot of questions on mootness, on whether or not we had time to gather the signatures. And then the other theme was whether or not that this would create a new tax or require the legislature to fund the program. And so, that was the line of questioning that we really got from the judges overall. But then when the other side presented their case, I thought it was really interesting because they really asked a lot of questions of their side as well. So it really seemed very balanced in the way that they were asking questions and the way that they were really trying to get to the bottom of what each attorney wanted to present in regards to whether or not this was misleading, whether or not there's precedent for this type of amendment, whether or not we would be, for example, funneling money away from public schools. And so I thought that their questions were really balanced. And if I'm just being totally honest, I don't know. I don't even have an idea about how this court is going to rule. But what I will say is just trying to be as objective as possible, listening to the arguments on both sides. If this court rules the way that they are supposed to rule, which is whether or not this description of effect is misleading or not, I really don't think they could rule against us, because it's very clear that this description of effect is, in fact, not misleading. And I think, a lot of the questions that they were asking were really conjecture, whether or not this would, create a new or require a new stream of income from the legislature or a program that they have to fund. We put that in our description of effect that was a potential effect. And so I don't think that they could rule against us if they're really just ruling on the merits of the law and really in the precedent that they've already set themselves for the scope in which courts are required to rule, which is, they just had a case recently where they really ruled that the courts have to stay in their lane and they ruled against judicial overreach. And so I think if they continue that line of thinking that they've already set in motion, I think they have to rule in our favor.
Let me just ask you, where are you on collecting signatures on this particular case?
Right. So that's a great question, and that's a question that the courts asked. And unfortunately, I don't know if many people would know this or could recall this, but we started collecting signatures at our gala, our very first gala in March, that was really well attended. We have over 300 people at that gala. And we asked every person to sign those petitions on the way out. But very shortly, we had been sued already at that point by the Reed family. But very shortly after that, we had the hearing and the judge put an injunction on our signature gathering. So we had become very, we had really started to try to utilize all of our grassroots kind of organization that we've done and we've been really effective at within our organization with Power to Parent. But and a lot of these candidates were going out and taking out our petitions. Unfortunately, he stopped us from actually even being able to collect signatures, which I would argue is against, the voters' constitutional rights, because we have the right to petition. That's a constitutionally held right in Nevada. So he stopped us from that. So we didn't get very far in our signature gathering. But we only have till June 29th for this particular initiative to get the signatures. But the reality is, and I think this was argued in court, it doesn't really matter how many signatures we had or if we have for sure have the ability or not to get the signatures, because that's not really the point. We're within the window of time that was provided by law to get those signatures. And because of that, because we were stopped from gathering signatures up to this point, we do have the right to have our case heard and really have the opportunity to try, if that makes sense.
So even if you win before the state Supreme Court, the chances of getting it on the 22 ballot are not good. Is that fair to say?
It would definitely be a huge undertaking to get 144,000 signatures, in a 2-week time period. So you're 100% right on that. But one really important thing we have to point out here is that if we did win, if this court rules in our favor, then we would have court-approved language that we could actually turn around and refile as another constitutional initiative for the next cycle. So it's really for multiple reasons that we need to have this ruling and that we really need to have the court's opinion on this, because we could potentially refile and do this at another time.
And what about the other initiative? Where does that stand?
So we have appealed, again, similarly, we appealed the lower court's decision. So the district court ruled against us and also put an injunction on our signature gathering on the statutory initiative. So we've filed that appeal already with the Nevada Supreme Court. So we were able to expedite this constitutional initiative based on the timeline because we had such a short amount of time to get signatures. But we have more time in the statutory case, so we were not granted an expedited hearing on that case. So what we're waiting for is for the court to take this case up and allow us to come back in front of the court and hear the statutory initiative case separately. And so we're hoping that that would be sooner than later, because we do believe we can get the signatures, you know, if we are able to get a quick, you know, court decision in the next month or two. And that would allow us to be able to get those signatures and really have a chance to get it in front of the voters.
And how different are the two initiative projects?
So really, they're not different very much at all. And one just changes the Constitution, requires, you know, this idea of education freedom savings accounts to be in the Constitution as a program that is a right for Nevada voters and for Nevadans in general. But the statutory initiative really gives more of the framework of how we could potentially see that put in place. So one is we're creating these education freedom accounts. The other one is we're creating these accounts, and this is how, you know, you're eligible for them. This is really how they're going to work.
What is your sense? What does your gut tell you about what this Supreme Court, state Supreme Court, what they will do?
Yeah.
On this particular issue.
Honestly, I really wish I had a better answer for you, because I really don't have a sense one way or the other, but I do believe this court is fair. I do believe, based on the, you know, last couple of decisions that they have put out in other cases and that were similar in regards to what the judiciary should be doing, I do think they have to rule in our favor if we're really basing it off of what they've done in the past and what I think is really being asked of them in this particular case. Because it's not really about their, and this has become really polarized, right? This idea of school choice has become really polarized. But it's not about whether or not you like school choice or agree with the program or believe it's going to have a good or bad outcome. That's not where the court has to rule. So my belief is that if they rule based on their scope, we will win this case.
If folks want to help you, obviously these attorneys aren't working pro bono. Attorneys cost money. These appeals cost a lot of money. How can people help you?
Yeah, thanks. So that's a great question. But we have a website. It's edfreenv.com. And you can go there, and there's a link on there. It's edfreenv.com. And they can go on there, and they can donate. We have an Anadot link on there. And they can also email if they have any questions at info@edfreenv.com.
Aaron, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for all you do for our kids. We really, really appreciate it. And this effort in particular has taken up a lot of your time, a lot of your effort. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll talk again soon, I promise.
Thanks, Kevin. Take care.
There you go. Aaron Phillips, president and co-founder of Power to Parent. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Thanks for listening. And we're saying thanks with a $50 gas card and basic oil change. Listen weekday mornings at 7:50 on the clock. And weekday afternoons at 2:50 during Kevin Wall's show. For your chance to win. Thanks for listening is fueled by Meineke Car Care Center on AM 670 KMZQ.
Have you experienced hearing loss? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Have you had trouble hearing in crowded places like bars and restaurants? Has this hearing loss caused you to drop out of conversations? Trust me, I know exactly what you're talking about. For years, I struggled to hear conversations with friends sitting next to me. Not three or four seats down the bar, but sitting right next to me. It became embarrassing. So I asked Steve Romeo at Quality Hearing Aids to test my hearing, and the results told me what I already knew. Not only did I have hearing loss, but there were words I could hear but not understand. Steve fitted me with new state-of-the-art hearing aids, and the difference has been incredible. And now, with the addition of Dr. Matthew Lingman, the folks at Quality Hearing Aids are taking audiology to a whole new level. If hearing loss is causing you to miss out on conversations, do what I did. Call Quality Hearing Aids, 702-369-1321. That's 702-369-1321. Or check them out at QHALV.com. That's QHALV.com.
If you like sitting around the porch or dinner table sharing stories with friends, that's what we like to do here at Our American Stories. I'm Lee Habib. We bring to you stories about American love, funny stories about first jobs, this day in history, American dreamers and marriages, and even the stories of music and acting legends. I invite you to sit around the porch with us as we share our American stories.
Every night from 10 to midnight on AM 670 KMZQ, Talk Radio.